Hi, good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. It's nice to be back. You know, I did get my feelings hurt this morning. Somebody said to me, they said, "Pastor John, it's great to have you back." And I said, "Well, it's wonderful to be back." And somebody else was standing there and they said, "Have you been gone?" So 2 weeks ago when Don McClune was up here and you thought that was me, you need to make an appointment with your ophthalmologist, okay? Now, Alex preached last week, and that's okay. You know, he's a tall, good-looking young man. If you thought that was me last week, I'm all good with that. But 2 weeks ago, we got a problem, okay? If it was, where's Don? He's here somewhere. Nice to have you here today. You know, I must say, though, it's I don't know if you've ever traveled over in Europe anywhere. We were overseeing our daughter and son-in-law for a while. It's 5 hours, 6 hours ahead of us, and boy, getting acclimated back to the time is just so hard. I about 3:30 every morning, I'm up and ready to go. And then about 10:20, I'm ready for a nap. So we'll get that all worked out here in the next few days. Hey, we're so glad that you're here today with us at First Church. We're starting a brand new 5-week study series entitled, you know, about that we are significant. You know, we have a significance in Christ, and today I want to talk to you about purpose. You were created for significance. Do you know that? I hope you do. Let's say that together. Say, "I am." I am created for significance. You know, we were created for significance, but also with significance. God had a particular purpose in mind when He made you and me. Here's the thing. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at this idea about significance and finding our significance in Christ, in our relationship of faith with each other. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to talk to you the next 5 weeks about three particular chapters in the Bible that God can use to change your life. Three chapters in the Bible. Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 15, and guess what the third one is? Luke chapter 16, that's right. Paying attention, Dave, thank you. Luke 14, 15, and 16. It's this beautiful section of Scripture that if we allow God to use it, He can really, really change our lives. Now, here's where I want to start today, because it is so easy to be the guy in the room that is clueless. Have you ever been that guy? You know, the guy that just never checked out because he never checked in. You know, the guy that everybody else notices it, everybody else realizes it, everybody else understands it, but you're just clueless. It's just going over your head. We're going to look at some things in these three chapters where there's people in the story that are just clueless. They're doing one thing when obviously they should be doing another thing. They're paying attention to something when they're not paying attention to the very thing that God wants them to see. And listen, folks, I don't want to be that person. And you know what? You don't want to be that person either. Because we've all had them, haven't we? Have you? Have you had them? Have you ever, have you been this person? You know, Arlene has this habit. We go out to eat somewhere, and after she finished, I mean, honestly, if you see, Arlene has this beautiful smile. I mean, she really does. Let me see it, honey. There it is. And after we go out and eat, she'll look at me and she'll say, "Do I have anything in my teeth?" You know, and you know, loving husband, I always say, you know, I don't ever say no when really it is yes, because I don't want to embarrass her. I don't want her to be that person that goes around smiling the rest of the day and everybody else is like, "Oh my goodness, if she only knew." Well, you know, she's got a limb of broccoli there in her tooth. Have you been that person? I've been that person. Everybody else sees it. Everybody else knows it. And everybody's looking at you a little bit funny, but you don't get it. Or, you know, have you ever gone to the airport bathroom and when you walk out, you don't realize that you're walking down the aisleway and there's a string of toilet paper there stuck to your foot and everybody else sees it and you're just like, hey, 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 hey. You know, and even worse than that, you know, if you have some toilet paper, you know, sticking in the belt of your pants or coming out from underneath your skirt, for goodness sakes. You ever been that person? That's not a good place to be, is it? I mean, you just want to hide your face because everybody else sees it and you're wondering why everybody's laughing. And here's the thing, they're not laughing with you because you're not laughing. Because you don't get it. See, here's the thing, folks. There's so many things about life that it's like that. I don't want to be the person in the room that doesn't get it, that doesn't understand it, that's not in tune enough with the Holy Spirit or with God, that God is saying one thing, but I'm doing another. That God is saying this is what's most important, and it's not on my list of priorities. That happens so many times in Scripture. So that's where I want to start today. You were created with significance. You were made with a purpose. Do you see it? Luke chapter 14 is such an interesting passage of Scripture. Now, I'm going to read for you here in just a moment three different sections of Luke chapter 14. I don't have the Scriptures up on the screen, so you need to find your Bible on your app or on your phone or there in your lap. But we're going to read this Scripture, verses 1 through 6, verse 7 through 11, and verse 12 through 14. And what we're going to do as we read this passage is I want you to ask yourself this question. Can I see myself in this picture? Can I see myself in this story? Because what you're going to see is you're going to see Jesus and you're going to see the things that He's concerned about. You're going to see people that are in great need. And then you're going to see the religious folks, the Pharisees, that don't have a clue. They're not focused on the things that God wants them to be focused on. And I want you to see yourself. Find yourself in this passage of Scripture. So here we go. Got your Bibles? Turn there with me. Luke chapter 14 in verse number 1. It says, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Now notice that, okay? That is so clue. All the religious folks were watching Jesus. Wanted to see what he said, wanted to see how he acted, wanted to see what he did. Verse 2. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? And look what it says. It says that they had nothing to say. You know, I think that this is an amazing Scripture because like, who do you see yourself in this picture? You know, there's really only three choices. There's Jesus. And I know that He's our ultimate example in all things, but let me just tell you, folks, most of us here today, we don't remind me or us of Jesus, do we? I mean, that's what we should be thinking about, but no, I can't, don't find myself there. Or you're the sick man. Now, some of us have, as the word says here, an abnormal swelling of the body. I don't think he's talking about the same thing here as what we may experience today in our culture. Okay? But, you know, most of us were well enough, got up this morning, came here to worship, to share together. Or the only other choice is that we're like the Pharisees. And my point is that a lot of times that's exactly who we are because we are oblivious to the things that are important to God, the things that are on God's heart, the most important thing that Jesus said that we should be a part of is the very thing that we are ignoring. We're like the religious people. You know where Jesus said, is it okay to heal somebody on the Sabbath day? Is it okay to rescue your son out of a well if he falls into a well? No, son, you stay there. You tread water till tomorrow. I'll come back and hopefully I'll get you out. You know, is it okay if your ox falls into a ditch? Is it okay to do on the Sabbath day what it requires to get him out? And all the religious leaders there would have said, no, 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 no. You can't do that on the Sabbath day. And Jesus, by his words and actions, he says, you are neglecting the very thing that you should be doing. You know, as I read this, I think things like, you know, go get them, Jesus. You know, straighten these guys out. And then you hear the Holy Spirit kind of whisper in your ear, which one in this story are you? So you can go through this mental exercise of imagining yourself in this scene. One Sabbath day, get invited to a party, stroll up the front walk, notice all the other guests have arrived early. Kind of like at a surprise party when all the normal guests are told to arrive at 6 and the guest of honor is told to arrive at 6:30 so they can arrange everything before he gets there and they can surprise them. Only instead of everybody being huddled inside the house to surprise him, all their guests are waiting for him out on the front lawn. You know, making the party about their attendance rather than the one that should be honored and should be cared for. You know, God says to us and pleads to us in these kinds of passages, find yourself here. Certainly we're not Jesus. He was perfect and we are far from that. And then you think, well, maybe I'm the sick guy, but quickly you realize that that's not me either because I'm in pretty good health. I'm in good shape and I'm even better looking, winsome, charming for everybody to see. Well, then the only other person in the story is the Pharisees. Highly educated, devoutly spiritual types, held positions of responsibility within the religious community, spent years studying the Old Testament, the Bible of their day, knew all the rules and regulations, mostly by heart, and they tried their best to live their lives by those laws, but they thought little of everybody else who didn't do the same. And I don't know about you folks, but as I look at this picture, it's like God, His Spirit saying to us, you most likely are a Pharisee. And we must admit that He is right. And as we contemplate that, and as we think about what that means in our lives, we read on. Look at verse number seven. It says, then he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table. So he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than yourself may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, folks, here's the part of the story, I think, when God wants to get our full attention. Thinking about how the Pharisees acted in this public gathering, and how Jesus acted in the same gathering, and how they were critical of Him. But yet His encouragement was to not try to exalt yourself, not try to find the best place, but to humble yourself and take a lowly seat. You know, I was thinking about this the other day because our seniors last week went to the Senior Saints and the Smokies retreat down in Tennessee while I was gone. We've been doing this for like 25 years. And years ago, when we used to go, remember June Rossman? June Rossman, God bless her heart. We all love June Rossman. June kind of felt like that, you know, her seat in the van was riding shotgun with me. Okay? And after a few years, we had another lady that went that, you know, and she had a hard time getting in and out of the van. And she kind of felt like that was her seat. So it was so funny because the one year we went down there and it was like whichever one of them got to the van last got to sit up front. Okay? So here, you get this, okay? We're going out the door to get in the van to go somewhere, and June and this other lady, they go to the door, and June's holding the door, and she says to the lady, she says, "After you." And the lady says, "Oh my goodness, no, after you." Because they knew whoever went out that door first didn't get in the front seat. So after you, no, after, oh, I wouldn't hear of it. You need to, oh, my, you know, and they were trying to out-nice each other so that they could get the seat that they wanted. Now listen, folks, those two ladies both absolutely loved the Lord. And Jesus here is saying, listen, don't desire a seat of honor. Desire a place of humility. Because what Jesus did was that He exposed the Pharisees for what was most important in their life. And what was most important in their life was not serving other people. Okay, let me finish this up. If you look at verse number 12. Verse 12 says, "Then Jesus said to His host, 'When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you back and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.'" Folks, that is an amazing scripture, an amazing parable told by Jesus. And you know what? When you think about this, Jesus here is thinking to Himself, while I'm on a roll, I might as well tell them not just where to sit at a party, but how to throw a party. You know, on the one end, he's telling you to be humble and not proud, telling you where to sit, the place of honor. And then he says, you know what? While I'm at it here, let me just talk to you about how you throw a party. So he says, when you throw a party, don't just invite all the nice, safe, beautiful, cleaned up people that smell good that are already part of your social circle. Instead, when you throw a party, use the opportunity to invite some that are not so clean, that are not so beautiful, that are not so loved, and honor them by inviting them into a place of honor. You will never know what that kind of thing will do. You know, the other day, it's actually Tuesday morning, Arlene and I went to the airport over in London to head home. And when we got to the airport, I noticed that I had a 5-pound note, British money. You need $1.26 to have 1 pound in Britain. Okay, their dollar, their pound is stronger than our dollar right now. So I had a 5-pound note, and I had several coins. The smallest paper money that they have is a 5-pound note, and then they have a 2-pound coin, a 1-pound coin, a 50 pence coin, a 10 pence coin, and a penny. So they have all these coins. So I had a 5-pound note, and I had a whole handful of change of those different coins. And when we were there at the airport, we got something to eat. We were quite hungry, and we were sitting there. And this wonderful young lady from Romania was our waitress. And she was so nice, and she was so courteous. And I thought, you know what, I'm not going to be able to use this money. I thought about coming back and putting it in the offering plate just to see what the folks that do that would do. But what I did was, Arlene, I said, you know, we called the lady over, and I said, you know what, I can't use this money at home. And I said, I'd just like to give it to you. You've been very nice. So I gave her the five-pound note, and then I told her to hold her hands out, and I just took this, you know, coins, and I just dropped them in her hand. And, you know, I don't know, it was probably 10 or 12 pounds maybe that I gave her. And she was just like, you know, and her eyes kind of welled up, and she was so appreciative. She was so thankful. She felt so blessed. Here's the thing. We did not know her. We most likely will never see her again. Those are the people that God causes you to bless. Calls you to bless. It's not just the people that are sitting next to you, around you, that look like you, that have the same kind of life as you. God wants us to be the person in the room that sees the world as Jesus sees them. We were in Paris for a day while we were over there. And I couldn't help but think, you know, here's this mass of humanity around these, you know, beautiful buildings and things in Paris. And I felt like, you know, Jesus saying that they were looking over Jerusalem. He said they were like sheep without a shepherd. Do we think that way? Or do we miss it? You see, folks, God's purpose is to fill heaven with people from all walks of life. Woe unto us if we think heaven is going to be full of people just like us. Heaven is going to be full of people from every land and every tongue and every economic stratus. Everyone. And God wants to use us. You see, that was the thing about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were so arrogant. They were so self-centered. They were so egotistical and dogmatic and legalistic. And they wanted everybody to be like them. And if you did not accept not only their culture, but their practices and all the different ramifications of the laws that they had spun out of the Ten Commandments and the other laws of the Pentateuch, then you were just discarded. But now we live in a time of grace. And God wants you and me to be the conduit of that grace. But it can never happen if we're in the room and we don't notice. We don't notice how Jesus longs to heal a man that is sick. And rescue a son that is in bondage. Even the plight of an animal that has fallen in a ditch. You see, folks, it's either this. Do I have the heart of Christ? Or do I have the heart of a Pharisee? And you know what, folks? I don't know about you, but I just have to humbly confess that there's a lot of times in life that I'm more like the Pharisee than I want to be. And certainly more than God wants me to be. God wants me to look upon the world and know that His purpose is to fill heaven with all kinds of people from all kinds of lands. You see, that's why God here talks about wanting outsiders invited to His party. You know, next week is our grandson Jack's fifth birthday. And It's funny because he lives in a town, a new town, where he has very few friends. He has Abe, that's Gary Weiser's grandson. He lives in Pittsburgh. So Abe's coming to the party. And the Robleys over here, their little guy, Logan, he's coming to the party because Jack went to school with Logan for a couple days. So Abe's coming to the party. And Logan's coming to the party. And then all the grandparents and everybody, they're coming to the party too. And who are you going to invite to the party? That's just it. See, a lot of times I don't have anybody to invite to the party. Well, that's too bad. Because God wants us to invite all peoples to come and be a part of His kingdom. Are you doing your part to do that? You see, because He says here in verse number 11, Luke 14, verse 11, He says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." You know, you think about it, folks. A lot of people say, you know, "I don't know what to do. I had a very safe, comfortable existence, comfortable church, comfortable family, come from a good family, and I knew God wanted so much more for me." So the purpose is that God wants to use us to reach out to those that are less fortunate in our time, in our world. So here's the prayer we need to pray. "God, I'm sorry for living the life of a Pharisee. Help change me to be more like You." Are you willing to pray that prayer? "God, I'm sorry, I repent for so many times being the Pharisee that just doesn't realize it, doesn't understand it, doesn't get it, doesn't see it. And God, make me more like You." You see, religious laws should not keep us from doing good in Jesus' name. So as we do good in Jesus' name, may the lowly and the less fortunate know of the grace and mercy and of the provision that can come from Him. We were created for significance. We were created with a purpose. And that purpose was to fill heaven with people from all walks of life. God, may You use us to accomplish that purpose. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it's so easy to point the finger at others that we think are living a life less than You would want them to live. But today, Lord, this is not a moment about pointing fingers at other people. It's about a moment of looking in the mirror at ourselves and asking ourselves, are we more like a Pharisee or are we more like Jesus? Pray, Lord, that we would come along beside You. Allow You, Lord, and Your Spirit to envelop us. Certainly, Father, here on this day of Pentecost, that we should realize and appreciate and understand Your power. Because, Lord, without Your power, it's so easy to be selfish. It's so easy to think about nothing more than my rightful place and what I deserve. But certainly, Lord, the life of faith, the life of a Christian, is a life of humility. Submitting ourselves to You, Lord, humbly, and therefore being exalted. So I pray, Lord, that we would live that life, choose that life. And that, God, we would invite the lowly and the downtrodden and the sick and the hurting, and the poor, our party, and then share with them, Lord, the beautiful riches of faith in Christ. God, we do not desire any great office of lofty importance. But Lord, we just desire a place at Your table. And may that invitation to Your table be given to all, Father, as we live our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.